Hey there, and welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, the show designed to teach you how to sell, how to build systems, create strategy, and of course, how to become a marketing genius. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, and I am welcomed today by Mr. Ricky Caruth, the only free real estate coach, the only guy you should probably be paying attention to right now. This guy is doing some big things, man. Ricky, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast with us.
My pleasure, man. Good to be here. Thanks for reaching out.
Yeah, of course. So I'd like to kind of give you the table, you know, give us the backstory. Who is Ricky? What's the story? How did you, come into the position you are now? Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I think the biggest thing is when I was a little kid, I knew that I was curious and competitive. Like, I wanted to know how stuff worked, and then past that, I wanted to be the best at everything. So, like, everything I tried, I really studied hard and focused and wanted to learn everything about it. And then that way I could beat everybody if I put enough work in. Like, the hard work is actually the secondary characteristic behind competitiveness. You know, like, if you're curious and competitive, then hard work, like, if you really are competitive and you want to be the best, then you're going to work hard to outwork everybody. That's just, like, the second part. It's not like everybody thinks work ethic is like the main thing. No, actually it's your drive of why you're putting in the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, like curiosity and competitiveness were just huge for me. And I knew it really early that was what was going to drive me. So when I'm a teenager, I start roofing houses with my dad. That's what he did. And I saw him, he was the best around and I wanted to beat him. You know what I'm saying? So I learned everything he did and then I outworked him and then one day I beat him. Like that day was an aha moment for me because I was like, okay, this really does work. Like you really can learn how to do something, outwork everybody and become the best. And that really stuck with me. So when I was 20, I got my real estate license. It was 2002 and the market was just starting to heat up, you know, before it went crazy. And then when it went crazy, I made a lot of money, made $1 million. I was 23. I bought a lot of properties and lost everything. In the crash, you know, when the market crashed, I lost. And that was really cool. Like I had fun during that time, but there were guys that were 45, 55, and 65 right next to me that was going through the same exact scenario of losing everything. And I was in my mid 20s thinking, thank God I wasn't 45, 55, 65. And I really looked at it as a blessing. Like from the very beginning, people don't believe me when I say I was just as happy when I lost everything. I was sleeping in my car. I was sleeping on friends' couches. I went back to roofing. I was working on an oil rig. I went bankrupt. And I was just as happy because the curiosity took over. I wanted to know why I failed. I wanted to know what happened. And that way it would never happen again. Because I knew that I would figure it out and then come back stronger and then build something that would never go away. So, like, I read 100 books. I studied all the real estate agents around the country, the ones that had to get out, the ones that kept going. And man, I realized that the first half of my career was all about the deal, the relationship, the transaction, you know, all about the closings and the money. And I realized that was the reason I failed because everything was focused on that. And when transactions go down 70% and that's all you're focused on, yeah, you're gonna be hurt. But when you focus on people, you know, when the market crashes, people are still there. The crash doesn't kill people. They're still there. They still need to do things. You know, it's like people still eat, you know, people still breathe, people still, you know, drive cars. I mean, none of this stuff goes away. People still buy and sell homes. You know, when the market crashed, like after I went through that and looked back and real. It's happening every single day. That business was completely unlimited. Like there's more than you can handle at all times. You know, it's like a buffet, you know, like you can't eat everything at a buffet, you know, and like if, and it doesn't matter if you tell the guys at the next table that the chicken's really good, they can go up there and eat it, but there's still plenty because more is coming out every day. Like you can't eat it all. You know, same thing with real estate. You can't do all the deals. The process is for each deal is too much, you know, to be able to do. Like you can't do like 50 deals in a day. There's no way you can do it. So it creates this limit to what you can do, not to what you, you know, not to what's available to you because there's a limit to what you can do. So once I realized all this and that it was relationships over transactions, then I got to back to work. Like in 2008, I came back. I started crushing it. I made like 80 grand. 2009, I made like 100 grand. I was happy as hell because I was off an oil rig. Like I was working on an oil rig for 40, and I get back to real estate, make 80. And it was just an incredible moment in my life. And then 2010, the oil spill hit down here on the Gulf Coast. I'm in Orange Beach, Alabama. And it was like a mini crash. And I made more money that year than I did the year before. I made 100 in 09 and 150 in 2010, the year of this oil spill, which was like a scary moment. People were running for the hills. People were dumping their properties. But I applied everything I learned in the big crash to the mini crash, and I won. And that was a big aha for me. I was like, okay, I don't have it all figured out, but I got something's going on here. Like I got something figured out with this whole relationship over transaction thing. And so from there, man, I moved to RE/MAX. I started really crushing it. 2014, I did 100 deals. I was the number one agent, RE/MAX agent in Alabama. 15, 16, 17, 18, did 100 deals each year. Last year, 2017, I was number one agent in RE/MAX agent in Alabama again. And, I'm going to do 100 this year, 20, 21, 22. I'll keep doing 100 deals a year, and I'm just a single agent with one assistant. It's not like I have a team. You know, a lot of these teams say, oh, I sold 200 properties. Well, you got like 15 people, there's not very many, there might be a couple, but there's not a whole lot of agents out there that can, you know, walk in my shoes as far as like how much property I'm selling. On top of the fact that I'm coaching half the time. I'm a single agent. It's wild, dude. I'm filming and editing videos and doing podcasts with Grant Wise and, like, you know, speaking. I just spoke in LA and just got back from Miami. I'm going to Detroit this weekend, Baton Rouge the weekend after that. And so I'm just kind of all over the place, man. But I think to sum it all up,
are you there?
Yeah.
Hold on. I lost you for a second there.
Okay. Where'd I lose you?
You said, I think to sum it all up. So if you want to start right there, just say, I think
to sum it all up, man. It was my curiosity and competitiveness. And then through that, like adapting as I went along and figuring out that it's relationships over transactions. You know, it's about the people, not the deals. And if I had it all to do over again, man, I would literally. The first thing I would do if I was in real estate right now, like, and I understand everything that I know at this point, I would literally go find it for sale by owner and help them sell it on their own without asking for any commission. And I would really push to try to get that property sold. I would put everything I got into it to show them how much I cared about them. And that would give me momentum in the business with a relationship. They're going to use me for the rest of their life and refer everybody to me. I'm going to get experience. And it's just like, so there's so much there for doing a deal for free that that people just don't even realize, you know, and everybody's like coming into the business brand new thinking they should get paid the same amount as an experienced agent. When really, you know what I'm saying? They should do a couple of deals for free, to be honest with you, man. Like, I really believe that.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. So how do you, as you know, a guy as busy as you are, sell 100 homes a year? What types of systems do you think are the most important to having a production scale like that?
I think the biggest thing is mentally, you have to not worry about things. Like people let so much get in their way in terms of, you know, just like worrying about stuff that's under contract and inspections. I don't know what they're worried about, to tell you the truth. I don't know how people have, you know, 4 pending deals, 3 listings, and it takes up all their time for like 4 months. I'll never, ever understand that. But I think literally letting the process take care of itself. Like, I don't put a lot of time into my listings and my pending deals. I let the process, like that buyer wants to close and that seller wants to close. And like, I know you're looking for more like systems and processes, but this is big. Like, the mentality behind not worrying about every little thing opens you up to do so much more. And it's really what the root of the problem is. It's not that there's a system that's going to help everybody all of a sudden do 100 deals. No, it's you realizing that all the stuff you're worried about doesn't mean anything. And you need to stop worrying about it and start worrying about what matters, which is who else can I help? You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't really have any like magical systems in place. You know, I have a great assistant and I look at my under contract board once a day and decide, do I need to call anybody or follow up with something? It takes me like 15 minutes and I'm right back to trying to figure out where my next deal's coming from. Same thing with my listings. I'll call them twice a month and like fill them in on the activity and that's it. I'm moving on to who else can I help, you know, and then I focus there.
Okay, great. That's awesome. I think that's great to truly understand as a real estate agent. Sometimes you can be so obsessed about being a real estate agent that you get just so caught up in the moment and you keep yourself really, really, really small. And it's huge if you can make that kind of paradigm shift and focus on the things that you actually should be focusing on and not focus on the things that are kind of keeping you in the obscure place that you might be. So speaking of obscurity, what are in your opinion, you know, doing 100 deals a year, how do you do that? What are some of the greatest, you know, maybe little marketing things that you do or sales strategies that you deploy? How do you get 100 deals a year? What do you do?
I think the biggest thing is understanding scalability. You know, like how do you scale a business where you can take your business and put forth little effort but create huge results, right? Like, I think that's the biggest thing. As a single agent, you have to be most efficient. Like, it's got to be all about efficiency. And how can you leverage? How can you scale your business? The biggest thing for me has been a weekly email, right? Like, it's really simple when I say that. But I design the email every week. It's fresh content out of my brain every week. And, like, I take that, and it doesn't matter if I have 100 past clients or a million, I'm still going to spend that same just 30 minutes every week on that email, and it keeps me connected with everybody, right? Everybody in my past, okay? So I've been doing that weekly email every single Wednesday since 2007, right? So 12 years, every single Wednesday, regardless of market crashes, me changing companies, me being on vacation, hurricanes, oil spills, whatever the case may be, that email has went out. What does it do? Well, it creates a situation where I don't have to call everybody back all the time and check on them. They know what's going on. They know I'm there. They know I'm there if they need anything, right? So it shows all my clients and even the newer clients that I just met, they start getting it. They start to recognize how dependable, hardworking, honest, professional, you know, consistent, hardworking. It builds all of my character traits into their brain without me having to really do anything special that I'm not doing for everybody else. And it's because I create it every week. You create that original content. They know that it's just not a trip about how to cook shrimp etouffee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They know that it's real market information that I'm giving them. I'm bringing them real value about what I think about the market, like real stuff. And it's created such a huge thing for me where people just call me now. Like I built my entire career cold calling so much that now all my prospects cold call me and say, hey, I want to do this. I want to do that. I've been getting your email for 5 years. I'm ready to do this or that, you know? And I'm like, what's your name? Because I don't even remember talking to the person because that's how forward thinking I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing for me has been the weekly email. You know, it's something that a lot of people don't utilize, but it's something I teach in my coaching program. And all I'm doing with my coaching program is I'm sharing everything I do. And you can love it or hate it, right? The cool thing is it's free. So you can't come to me and say it doesn't work. You know, this is crap. Well, you didn't pay for it. If you want to go pay $1,000 a month so that, you know, you can treat people like they're a number, you know what I'm saying? Like the problem is do you want to buy or sell, right? That's the problem with the industry. Do you want to buy or sell? Who do you know that wants to buy or sell? It's like, hey, we just met. Can you sell your house or buy a house for me so I can get a commission? And if not, then okay, cool. Get out of my way. Do you know anybody else that might? Like, do you have any friends that might be able to help me? And like, that's the impression that we're giving people when that's not the way of the world now. The way of the world is bring value up front. The way of the world is what can I do for you? So the entire industry right now is leveraged on finding out what the prospect can do for the agent. And I'm single-handedly flipping that little by little into teaching agents how to figure out what they can do for the prospect. You know what I mean? So I think I got off on a tangent, but
that's okay. Well, I want to spin off a question then. How important is patience right now?
Well, I think my four principles to success are: you got to believe, right? You got to work hard, you got to adapt, and you got to be patient. Okay. So like everybody believes that they can do whatever, but out of the people that believe, very few actually work hard. And out of the people that believe and work hard, even fewer also adapt. Okay. And then we're narrowing it down all the way to where there's even fewer people that are also patient. And if you, Grant, or anybody is not as successful as they want to be, I can talk to you for 5 minutes and tell you which of these four things you're missing, because these are the four. This is it. It's like a puzzle. And if you're missing, if you don't believe, you don't really believe, that's the reason you're not making it. If you don't believe, you don't work hard, that's it. If you're not adapting, if you're doing the same thing over and over again, you're not trying new things, you're not figuring out what works and what doesn't work, you're trying to get better, you're not winning. But if you do all those things, but you aren't also patient, you're going to lose. And that was my problem. In 2014, I did 100 deals. 2015, I did 600,000. 2015, I wanted to do $1 million. I made this really amazing plan, put all this stuff in place. I was going to make this $1 million. January comes around, I start implementing this plan. Come March, I realize I'm not going to hit $1 million. It looks like I'm going to make 600 again. I became deeply depressed. So I started researching and reading and trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong. I ended up hiring a coach. I hired a coach for a couple months. And what I realized through all that was that I had everything in place except for the last key ingredient, which was patience. Like, I was doing everything right. I just wasn't patient enough to let it happen. You got to let it happen. You know, people ask me, how do I do 100 deals and all this stuff? The thing is, dude, is I don't wake up and say, I want to do 100 deals this year. It's like I put forth every little bit of effort I can all day, every day, and 100 deals is just what comes out the other side. I'm not married to the results. I'm married to the grind, the process, the everyday, day-to-day actions, and being efficient and learning and trying to figure out new things and just moving forward and getting better and better and better and putting forth more effort. I try to figure out ways to like be efficient to where I can put more effort into what I'm doing, you know? So patience is so big,
yeah,
that most people, it's their downfall, because a lot of people do believe, work hard, and adapt, but then because they believe, work hard, and adapt, they think it all should happen to them right then, or at least within a year or two, but they don't realize that it's a five-year situation.
Yeah.
And if we just like keep going, here's the thing, bro, before we get off this, there's a place in life, there's a gray area. Like, there's people who are really successful and really hungry and really grindy people, but they're never really that happy because they keep their goals keep going bigger and bigger and bigger. They keep moving it out further and further and further. Every time they get close, they move it. And then there's people that are lazy, you know, they'll never amount to anything, but they're happy as can be. They're happy as can be, right? Well, what I found out that year was that there's a happy medium where you can be this grindy person that wants more and more and more and more. But you also got to be happy and satisfied at the same time with where you are at any given time. And if you lose that, then that's where the impatience comes in, because you're trying to get to that thing that you can't ever reach because you keep moving it. And you become more and more impatient. You just become more and more frustrated because you can't hit it. When in reality, you should be happy with where you are and the fact that you're moving forward, not backwards. You know what I'm saying? And then like harness that happiness to where you're living the best of both worlds. And that, ever since that year when I hired that coach and all that happened, that's where I've been. I've been completely content, completely happy, completely satisfied, but still hungrier than anybody you'll ever meet, you know?
That's awesome. Other than Nick Saban and Alabama head football coach.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I just see that because I saw your Alabama logo sitting there in the background, and I don't know, man.
I don't. Man, we could be on the same level. He may have me a little bit. I don't know. I never met him.
So. No, that's funny. So that guy's got something figured out for sure, and you do too, man. I love it. What do you think are just like one or two? Because a lot of real estate agents just aren't going to make that shift because they don't understand up here. Now, what, like, if you were to talk to somebody right now and say, look, it's your mindset. You haven't made this mindset shift to this new way of thinking. You haven't joined us in 2019. Man, what is just one little thing, or maybe two or three little bitty mindset things that I could do to just change the way that I think about, you know, life, business, success, loving, falling more in love with the process and less in love with the results?
I think there's a lot to it. It goes really deep, you know, like I would have to talk to that agent for a good 5 or 10 minutes to find out what's really going on. But like, generally speaking, it's like, okay, once you have this conversation with me and now you realize everything, okay, now you have, there's no way you can disagree, right? Like, closings happen every day. Like, business is unlimited, okay? Like, one of my core actions is to circle prospect. Call property owners that own property in subdivision that you want to sell in that's in your price range. Okay, you pick your price range. You pick all the clients that price range they buy and sell. There's no higher quality. That's the highest quality prospects, period. And you can target them and only talk to them and not worry about any of these other prospects. You get them. There's nothing better. On top of that, they are unlimited. You can't call all of them ever in your life. So closings happen every day. Property owners are unlimited for targeted, the highest quality prospects you can possibly find. Like, once you start understanding all this stuff, and then you realize that every prospect that you create a lifelong relationship with, because you didn't try to pressure them into buy or sell today because they weren't ready, and you didn't throw them to the curb because they weren't ready to buy anything, you actually cared about them like a friend or family member, then they are worth 10 to 20 deals to you over the life of your career through repeat business referrals and referrals of referrals. It's amazing because, like, my business is built on people who were not ready to buy or sell, but I built a relationship anyway. And most of the training out there will tell you, if people aren't motivated to do something like within the next week, then you got to move on. And that's horrible advice. It's horrible advice, man. Like market share equals how many property owners you have lifelong relationships with in the area. Whatever agent has the most real relationships, voice to voice, in whatever market they're in, whatever agent has the most of those owns the market share because they have all the future business, period. That's real market share for a real estate agent. And once you start to grasp all this stuff, you know, and start to understand, it's not about the deal. See, not going after the deal is the quickest way to a deal. Like, when you show people you care, because back to my point, the closings happen every day. People are buying and selling every single day. So if you're doing your job to talk to enough people and see what you can do to help them, you're going to run into people that want to do deals now. And you're going to run into people who don't want to do deals now, but will do deals later. Now you're building your business for short term and long term at the same time. Mm-hmm. Same exact time, same movement. Like, there's nothing more efficient than this. Think about it, dude. Like, you pick your price point. You're talking to people that will buy and sell in that price point. No other people that want to buy and sell in that price point. And every move you make is to either handle a short-term transaction today or a long-term transaction. Either way it goes, every one of them that you create a relationship with, whether they want to buy or sell today or not, is worth 10 to 20 deals to you in the life of your career. It's insane, dude, when you think about the efficiencies of it. So I would say to the agent who's stuck in the 1980s that you need to do 50-50. Like, if you want to continue asking people if they want to buy or sell and who do they know, and you're finding a little success with that, and you're making $100,000, but you're kind of stuck, keep doing that so you can make a little $100,000. But then half the time, start asking people, what in the world can I do to help you, and build your entire conversation off the answer to that question. And then start to just see which one works better over time. Do it for 3 or 4 months. And then as you're doing 50-50, and as things start to play out, and you start to realize where things are really happening and how awkward the conversations are that you're having with the people you're asking to buy or sell, and how amazing the conversations you're having with people that you ask what in the world you can do to help them, at some point you're going to quit doing the 1980s version, and you're going to come to us on the 2019 side of the equation and start crushing it.
That's great advice. And I want to make sure that people don't miss what you just said. So I'm going to ask you another question just a little bit differently. One of your core principles you talked about is, you know, adapting. And so what are ways that you adapt, or what are some ways that you've adapted, things that you found worked really well, things you found didn't work really well, that have kind of set the course for what maybe 2019, 2020 looks like for you? And I heard the answer, which is why I'm asking this question. I was asking a different way. If I'm a real estate agent and I say, okay, I want to go try some new things, which direction should I go? There's so many gurus out there trying to grab my money and pull it this direction. How should I adapt in 2019? How should I adapt in 2020? What should I be doing? Which way should I go?
To tag on that,
just real quick, in marketing and sales, like if I'm going to adapt a little bit from a marketing standpoint to go out and get customers, how should I put myself out there?
Like, dude, you're going to find that most of my answers and stuff are really more psychological than anything. You know what I mean? Because that's what it is, man. Like everything in this business is really mental. Even the hard work part is mental. Like it's you mentally saying, I'm going to do this. And that's literally what you do, man. When people come to me and say, Ricky, should I do this or should I do that? And I say, whichever one you want. Like, there's no right or wrong answer. You can do that one and you'll win. You can do this one and you'll win. You can do both and figure out which one works best and you'll win. You can't lose by taking action, right? You just can't lose. And so many people are paralyzed with, which one should I do? I don't know, so I'm not going to do anything. And that is really crippling a lot of people. So, you know, like I say, it's more psychological than anything, but like, just go, right? And so like, here's the flip side. Everything's changing daily. Algorithms are changing. Facebook ads change. You know, social media, there'll be a new app soon. There's, you know, like the market's changing. You know, like things change constantly. So whatever I tell you that works today won't work tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that we're just going to continue doing stuff is what does work. You know what I'm saying? So like, don't worry about, am I going to spend money on Facebook and waste money because I didn't do the right kind of ad, or like I didn't have the right, it isn't the perfect piece of content, or, you know, I'm not going to get the right cost per click and all that stuff. Go ahead and waste some money. Like, that's the only way that you're going to learn, is just to do it and be okay with risking. You gotta risk if you want reward. You know what I'm saying? So don't be scared to risk money. Don't be scared to risk time to try to figure stuff out. So I would say the biggest thing is get comfortable with risking time and money to figure it out. I mean, dude, with the coaching thing, I have spent hundreds of thousands, okay, on my coaching business to try to figure this thing out. You know, I lost a lot of money, but I will make way more money than that in the long run, you know, and the brand that I'm building. I just went to Miami and stood in one spot for an hour and a half, line out down the block of agents wanting to just shake my hand and take a picture with me and tell me how much I changed their life. So the hundreds of thousands I've spent, like, is working, you know what I'm saying? And that cost per click on that was horrible. And so just don't be scared to do stuff and just take action. Does that answer your question, bro? Or did you want more like a strategic, this is what you do type deal?
No, I think that answers the question beautifully. I mean, as real estate agents, you got to understand that there's no right way. There's just the way that you take.
Yes.
Like, you do cold calling but you actually do it, you're going to get results. If you do door knocking and you do it, you're going to get results. If you do Facebook ads and you do it, you're going to get results. No matter what medium you might be out there looking for today, don't look for the shiny object that's going to bring you the quickest return. Look for the path that you want to take. You want to take, because there's a bunch of them now, and go all in, go all chips, and just dive in and add value to people's lives. Stop thinking with your pocketbook. All right, stop thinking with your pocketbook, how much money you may or may not have in the bank, and start thinking in terms of adding values to people's lives. Because that relationship equity that you build, to Ricky's point, I believe is really what's going to take you the distance. And I always tell people this, you know, Facebook ad relationships have taken me farther than Facebook ads ever will. But for me personally, Facebook created all of those relationships, right? That's the place, that's the zone, that's where I've been. It might not be where I'll stay as the market evolves and the market changes. And that goes back to going out and trying new things, spending a proportionate amount of time over in, you know, research and development. But, you know, find a path that you feel like you want to take and take it. Don't take it for 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. Take it. Just dive in, go all in, because everything really works if you work. That's the biggest thing. So Dude, thank you so much for jumping on here and adding a ton of value, because I pulled away, you know, quite a few things from this conversation, and I hope that anybody listening to it has as well. Now, as the only free real estate coach, how does that work? Can you explain that to me? What's that look like?
Well, let me add to what you were saying just a minute ago real quick before I get into that. Like, I think everybody is at a stage in their life, no matter where you are, no matter if you're like The Rock, or you're somebody nobody's heard of, or anywhere in between, dude. If you're at a stage in your life, okay, and there's always another stage. I don't care where you are. There's another stage. There's another step to go to get a little higher, a little better. And so what you have to do is look at your situation. If you're a brand new agent and you're completely broke, you don't have any money whatsoever, you're on zero. Like you can go knock on a door and say, hey, how can I help you? Like you can call up for, you can drive, you can like walk and like find a for sale by owner and call them up and say, hey, I want to help you sell your house and I'm not going to charge you a dime. You know, like there's like, you got to figure out where you are and say, okay, what's my next step to like move closer to my goal? Like, and it's baby steps, you know what I'm saying? So like, and the top producers, they bust through all these steps. You know, they don't let anything hold them back. They don't let anything scare them. Like making phone calls, like the first stage of making phone calls, you're scared to death, you know, but the next stage is you made a call and figured out wasn't going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Then the next stage is, okay, I'm getting okay with this. What do I say? Okay. Then the next stage is, okay, I kind of know what to say. I need to learn how to say. Keeps going and going and going. And the top producers, they just like ram stack through all the stages. And the lower producers, or the people that have to get out of the business, they get stuck. They get stuck in a stage somewhere, you know, and they just can't seem to bust out of that stage because whatever's holding them back. So I just want to throw that in there to kind of end what you were saying there. As far as the free coaching, I got a complete course. And what I do is I share everything the way I built my business. And there's a free course, a full course. There's a 90-day action plan. I do live training twice a month. You reach out to me, you have full access to me. I answer every single DM on Instagram, email, Facebook message, everything, YouTube comment. So all that can be found at zerotodiamond.com, all spelt out. So my first book was Zero to Diamond. My second book was List to Last. The first one was just the basics of what I do. The second one was everything I learned when it crashed. It was all, everything I learned in the crash and how you can survive market crashes and the mindset and the mentality behind it. So you guys can find me at zerotodiamond.com and create a free account and stay in touch with me there. And if you see me coming close to your town to do a talk, I just got back from Miami and LA. I'm going to Detroit, Baton Rouge, Vegas. You guys just holler at me if you're around anywhere where I'm going to be, and I'll be glad to meet up with you or whatever and shake your hand and say hello.
Love it, man. So last question I got for you. Last question. What are the top three books you think somebody needs to read today? You said you went out and you read 100 books early on when you were trying to learn something. What do you think are the top three books somebody needs to read today?
My favorite all-time one was The Slight Edge. Did you read it?
I haven't read that one.
You need to. That's my favorite all-time out of the hundreds of books I've read. That is my favorite one. Jeff Olson. It's kind of similar to The Compound Effect, Darren Hardy. But yeah. he really put Darren to shame. Like it's really good. You really need to read that. I'm serious. And then the second would be the 10X rule. Even though I'm not a big Grant Cardone fan, like the new Grant Cardone where he's just trying to sell you stuff all the time. Because, I mean, he should have about 3 million followers right now. And he has like a million. And it's because he's trying to take more value than he gives. You know what I'm saying? And if he would have stuck with the original Grant, then he would be way further along. And the fourth one is the Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Work Week, which I thought was kind of a gimmick with the title and stuff. And then I never did read it. And then somebody I really respect said something about it. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And man, it really goes deep with like efficiencies and you know, how to try to compound your time, get more done in less time, so on and so forth. So those are my three favorite ones. One big one for me when the market crashed was Shift by Gary Keller.
Yeah.
It really opened up my eyes to the fact that when the market crashes, closings still happen. And the thing is, man, is like the buyers that buy when the market crashes, they want to buy right now while prices are down before they go up. And the sellers got to sell because they're in trouble. And so it actually creates so much urgency in the market of buyers and sellers to do stuff. And all the agents leave the business. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible time. And you can acquire so much market share, i.e. relationships with property owners in the area. And when the market rebounds after the crash, that's when you really see the surge in your business. And that's like, looking back, that's what happened to me, because I got back in 08, and the market was kind of tanking, the stock market and the real estate market was still down. And I got to work. And when the market came back, you know, it came back in 12, 13, 14, 15, like my business just, you know, really blew up with it. So, that's yeah, awesome. Man.
I love it. Guys, look up Ricky Caruth, the only free real estate coach. We'll have all of his links in the show notes. Make sure you reach out to this guy, sign up for his free trainings, because they are better than most of the paid trainings. I promise you, that's a fact. I think Ricky would agree with me there. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. We'll catch you later.